Blog Talk Radio.
Good day and welcome, welcome. I am Deborah Brown, the co-host of the Inspired Leadership Podcast, and I have my beautiful friend and cohort, Dawn Earhart Witte, who is the other co-host. Dawn, why don't you say hello?
Hello.
I thought I heard a hello and then I stepped on it. That's not very friendly. But we're going to have an awesome day today because we have the author of Trapped in the System, Miss Loretta Rice Barnes, and she is so much more than the author of that amazing book. She is an entrepreneur, a life coach, a pastor, a change agent, a mentor, not to mention beautiful wife, mother, grandmother, and friend. She is also an amazing human being that I am going to learn to love, I'm sure, on this hour that we're going to spend. Let me tell you a little bit about the book she wrote, which reveals the tricks of the enemy and the tactics he uses to bring about our destruction. After being a part of an unhealthy ministry for many years, where she found herself being misused for her gifts, talents, money, and time, but still remaining faithful to God's people and calling, the Lord transitioned her higher and deeper into his purpose for her life. Now, as a powerful agent of change, through the authority of God, she helps others discover their identities and maximize their potential and God-given talents to the glory of the Most High. As a victim of rape and molestation, with former gang affiliation and alcohol abuse, she understands what it means to need a way of escape from difficult situations. In 2007, she founded Women of Excellence Midwest, an organization established as a safe haven for battered, abused, and neglected women to heal and be emboldened to move forward. She established the nonprofit organization Living Life to the Fullest, CDC, which provides workshops, seminars, and advocacy classes on self-empowerment. She is the recipient of the President Barack Obama Lifetime Achievement Award for volunteer services. Now, that got my attention in a big way because I am a big fan, not only of President Barack Obama, but also Lifetime Achievement for Volunteer Services. So your resume resonates for me in so many ways that I can't even tell you where we have some similarities. But I'm going to let Dawn have a few moments before I take over the whole thing, which I would never do. But welcome, Loretta. I am so proud to have you on our show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it. I would love to thank you for being our first interview on this show. And also, I've known you for a couple of years. We got connected through my work in Africa. And when I first met you, when we first spoke, Loretta, I knew that you are a kindred soul. And what you're doing, the work that you're doing with the building the bridge between America and Africa and the lives that you're changing in St. Louis and all over the world, I just am so inspired by you. I think you're just one of the best people I've ever met, and I know that you were put into my life for a very beautiful reason. So thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being my friend, and thank you for being such an inspiration.
You guys got me in tears. Oh, my God. I thank God for both of you all and just thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here with you, to share this platform with you guys, just to share and learn and grow together. And so I'm just happy to be here. Thank you both.
Well, thought of inspired leaders that we wanted to ask to be on our show, you were one of the first ones I thought of. So, again, thank you. Or just who you show up in the world as.
Amen.
Loretta, before Dawn goes down whatever path she has in mind, I would just like to ask you a very basic question about leadership, because that's where we are, of course, focused on this show. And that is, how do you mm-hmm. describe a successful leader?
Man, that's a great question. You know, I think maybe over the past 20 years, I have been seeking that out. I think the very first time when I went to Africa, which was back in 2014, and part of what my experience was, even flying over in the airplane there and coming back was this whole idea of succession. I launched a ministry, a church, actually, in 2013. And as you read in my bio, I was like, who is that lady you're reading about? Oh, my God. But I realized that leadership happens with succession. And so the ministry itself was 1 year old. And, of course, you know that, you know, and those that are listening, anytime someone launches a church, it's just not the best time to be traveling the first year of that. But more importantly, going out of the country. And I was gone for about 2 weeks. But it was at that time that I knew that when God has called us into leadership positions, our call is to help to empower and impact and to help sharpen people's skills, talents, and abilities. And in short, I like to say I'm like the lady with the alabaster box. You know, I got this hammer, and I'm going around looking for boxes that have been hidden and unbroken so that those gifts can come out. But more importantly, creating platforms and allowing people to be able to use those gifts, skills, talents, and abilities, not in a competitive way, but in a way that helps us all to grow. So I would say succession, that you're working with people, you're creating these platforms, but you're also giving them space to lead and to be.
That's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember about 5 minutes ago I said, I cannot believe how in tune I am with you and so much of what you just said. I would never have said it that way because I did not have those beautiful words and that alabaster box that you break with a hammer and release the gifts that somebody's been hiding. I cannot tell you how many people I have invited into leadership with me because that's how I received my leadership invitation, was somebody said, I choose you. And we talked about that last time, so we're not going to go over it this time. But I feel so strongly that that is an important way to embrace another person's greatness, right? And say, I want you to flower. I want you to bloom and blossom, right? Oh, my gosh, this is awesome.
Yes, absolutely so.
I have goosebumps.
And you know, oh, go ahead.
All over my body. Because I think that's why Lorena and I clicked so immediately, because that's one of the things that I believe very strongly in, is that everyone is special. Everyone has gifts, and I want to see people see the light in them and help them bring out their gifts into the world, because then that's when everybody is lifted.
Absolutely. You know, I remember probably about maybe 6-7 years ago, I was on this authentic relationship trip. And I remember God just speaking these few words to me, be you to the max. And just like the organization, Living Life to the Fullest, CDC, is I believe that we're called to live life to the fullest, and that we have to be us to the max. And that comes through authenticity, and it comes with having right relationships. And sometimes it doesn't immediately happen, but as we continue to just be, like your book, desire to inspire, just to be, as we evolve, then those relationships come. But I do believe that in the power of relationship and the authenticity that happens, but that, we have to give space for people to grow. And sometimes, you know, the honest or the transparent other piece of that is sometimes people are not ready for that. And they feel like, oh, you're just trying to, you know, throw me in this and da-da-da. But what I've discovered, even in that, later on in life, people appreciate the fact that they were given that opportunity, and they understand that that was just a stepping stone to help get them to the next place. So that's my spiel on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're speaking the same language, and, you know, we use different words and different ways to go about it, but the message is still the same. It's being genuine and authentic to yourself and putting that out into the world and owning it and being okay with it, because we get to choose who we are in the world, right? That is
Absolutely.
Our choice. We can't choose, you know, this virus. We can't choose, you know, any of the other things happening, but we certainly can choose how we respond to everything. So that being said, Deborah, did you want to tack on to anything there? Because I wanted to go into a couple different things as Loretta was speaking. I got inspired, as always.
I would love for you to stay in flow with whatever was going for you, because that's going to be beautiful. Please.
Okay. Well, Loretta, one of the things that, you know, one of the inspired leadership traits that Deborah so eloquently wrote down in our planner, and it's going to be featured in this book that we are writing and you will be part of because of this podcast, is the acceptance of responsibility to a calling. And it says, the 10X leader is comfortable with the notion that her calling is noble and getting bolder as she expends her time and energy on it. And I would love for you to talk about your calling and what gets you up every morning, the passion that you put into the world, and how that factors into your life.
Man, you guys, this is powerful. Now I got like double goosebumps as you were just even reading through that. Wow. Yeah, I mean, what keeps me up at night is, what can I do to help the next person? Like, you know, what's the next connection? What's the next phone call? You know, what's the next place of visibility we need to be? I love helping people. When I say that, you know, I instantly got this vision when I was about maybe 5 years old. And I remember, so I'm a black girl. I was born and raised right in the middle of the hood in East St. Louis, right? And so in the process of that, there was this lady, and her name was Kathy, and she was a white woman, and she used to ride a bicycle, and she had her daughter on the back of it. It was one of those ones that had the child seat connected to it, right? And So she would come by, and she would have like this bag across her. And I remember even then thinking, like, I want to give her food. She would come by the house and she would want food. And I would sneak in the house and make her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and turkey and cheese sandwiches. And she would come periodically. When I think back, Kathy was like an angel, just her presence of what happened when she showed up. And then at that time, like, we used to get, this is like 30 over almost 40 years ago when, for a little over 40 years ago, when we would get the mailers in the mail about feed the children in Africa. And I would cry to my mom and grandmother. I was raised in a single family home. And so telling them, I want to send money over there, not knowing that I would ever, ever put my foot on the soil of Africa, because it just seems like too far away. But from that, there was a passion that was developed in me at a young age that I didn't even realize until probably within the past several years that was the cultivating of a gift. And so with that, I know that the acceptance of the responsibility is that the life that I'm living right now is not for me, that we're literally put here to make a change and be impactful. And those that believe in God, that we are kingdom citizens and ambassadors, and that, you know, we have this divinity living on the inside of us, this divine power that have been given to us, and that comes with a call and it comes with responsibility. And so at night, I'm just like, you know, even throughout the day, there again, how do we make this work? Like, my soul thrives off of being a helper and being able to serve and to give. Like, I can never, ever have to work a job again. If, like, all my bills can be paid and I can just get out and go into the world and serve and make somebody else's life better and help their gifts to come to life, like, I love that. That's what I love doing.
Morgan, as you were speaking, it reminded me of my mother, Teresa, quote that I love so much, and she said, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other.
Yes. Now, you need to say that like twice, two more times. That's powerful.
While you guys are thinking about Mother Teresa, I'm thinking about Mr. Rogers, who said, when stuff is not going well, look for the helpers.
Yeah.
And look at how impactful that is, really, if you can train people who are in need to look for the helpers. Just like, you know, used to be that you could tell your children, if you're in trouble, go and find a police officer. Now I'm hoping that we don't have that kind of situation where you've got kids in the streets who are looking for help like that. I don't mean that, but it's just so much going through my head. I can't even make it straight. It's just, There's so much
the
pain
juices are flowing.
And suffering. There's so much pain and suffering and discontent and unhappiness on one level. And then on another level, there are the helpers and the light workers and the people like you and Dawn and me
and
who want, thank you, who want to share our gifts and be that person who, if somebody's looking for the helpers and they happen to see us, we go, yes, yes, you found me. I'm here.
That's me.
I can do this.
Absolutely.
Isn't that, yes. So between Mr. Rogers and Mother Teresa, we've got this covered. That's the whole spectrum.
We got this. Yes, absolutely. Those are two powerful statements that you guys shared. Look for the helpers, you know. You are the answer to someone's problem. You know, you're literally a solution. Someone is praying for you. Someone's praying for me the exact way that I am right now. Oftentimes, we want to wait until we're all polished up before we show up in the world. But what I've learned over the past several years is that you're constantly evolving every single day. You can show up just the way you are. There's enough in you. In the place that you're in right now, that someone needs exactly that. From what you evolved from 5 years ago, 10 months ago, 3 weeks ago. And they need the wisdom and the knowledge and the skills and understanding and abilities to be able to help them. And so, you know, we think about our human frailty sometimes or our insufficiencies or deficiencies in different things. And we're like, well, once I get this together, then I can move to the next thing. And God is like, no, you're together enough right now to just be who you are and you can be impactful in the world. And that's the beauty that I found was when I realized that I didn't have to be this polished figure maybe that I had in my head or maybe even that society have tried to say that we are supposed to be, but the exact person that I am right now, I can be impactful and I can make the world of difference in someone else's life.
Oh, gosh.
Can I jump in? Yes, I know. And,
yes,
and I want,
jump in.
This is so funny. I'm going to make this about me for like 1 minute because when you said that about you, just as you are, can be the answer to someone's, I don't remember if you said prayer or desire or
problem.
Wish. I have had grown men cry when they found out that I would, in fact, be able to work with them. I'm a book coach, and I've helped people take their book that sometimes they have tried for 20 years to finish, and until they get to me, and this has happened with men and women, they realize by the time they get to me that they can finish it and that they feel like I have been literally delivered to them on a silver platter somehow, and I choose to believe it's a God thing. And then I will be so in awe that I am that person for them, right? And so I am the embodiment of that helper in a way that other people are not talking about. You know, I'm not feeding the children in Africa, but I am feeding the soul of someone who is now going to help others in their work. So there's so many layers to this, right? So many layers.
Yeah. So I got excited because a friend of mine, she's written probably about 10 books, and I told her, I had that anointing, but somehow it's not there. So I need someone to break open that box. So maybe you're the answer to my prayer on a silver platter so that I can get the other writings out of me.
Well,
thank you, Dawn and Deborah.
That would be pretty funny. But anyway, I just love your I love the way you put things, Loretta. I love your imagery.
Oh, thank you.
That alabaster box is going to sit with me for a long time because I've always said the trite and usual thing about, you know, you keep your candle under a bushel. But an alabaster box with your traits or your beautiful gifts and talents hidden away in it is such a beautiful – isn't that awesome, Dawn? Isn't she just awesome?
It's so beautiful. I've been telling you this for 2 years.
I know.
You guys are
– I get it now.
Yes.
I get it.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much there. I don't even know which to address first. That's all just so beautiful, and the way you look at the world is so beautiful, and the way that you show up for people is so beautiful. I mean, from the very first time we spoke, and then when I came to the first Reset America, Reset Africa conference in St. Louis, you saw me. And to see somebody wow. and to, you know, you asked me to speak. And this is the other thing about Loretta that I have to tell you. I don't even, I do something, she is there. She is on it. I don't even have to ask her. She just automatically shows up, does what she can, supports me in all of my endeavors because she knows where it's coming from. She knows it's coming from a place of love. And when we support each other that way, it's one of the most beautiful things that we can do. And, again, I just appreciate what you do in the world. I appreciate having you in my life. And, you know, together I am completely convinced that we're going to make a change in the world, you know, lifting Africa and lifting everybody along the way as we lift ourselves.
Yes.
So, and I wanted to also touch on the story. You know, I've long said that through our biggest suffering is our, we can also find our greatest healing when we help others through it, because it gives us an empathy that we might not have had mm-hmm. otherwise. And that's mm-hmm. how we heal ourselves, by helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things I would love to talk a little bit more about, because, you know, we've all had struggles of, you know, one sort or another. And Deborah and I have been talking about, you know, failing forward. You know, what does that look like? You know, when is a time in your life where you have something, you've overcome a challenge only to look back on it later and say, you know what, had it not been for that challenge or that circumstance, I wouldn't understand this, I wouldn't know this, or I wouldn't be in this situation today. Can you think of
one? Oh, wow. Man, I think I thought about like two or three things. The first one that came to mind was, I remember when I decided, I didn't go to college right after I got out of high school. I think I was just like, you know, bummed and burned out. And I was like, thank God I graduated high school. A few years passed and then I went. But one of the traits that I had developed somewhere in my teen years into my maybe right at the brink of my early 20s was I would start things and not finish. And I was like, I got tired and I was like, I just want to finish something. And so I remember enrolling to complete my associate's degree and I finished. And it was, you know, I had a lot of challenges because there were different things that was going on. And because of my academia then, and my GPA was high. And I was just like, I remember this is a sideline. It's so funny now when I think back and I ponder on this, but I remember I got good grades and my GPA was like 3.5, 3.8, like the whole time I was in school. And I remember getting a letter in the mail and the letter said that I was on the dean's list. Now, I told you, born and raised in the hood, I didn't have a lot of, you know, people who had went to seek higher education and things like that around me. So I actually thought I was in trouble. Okay, you can laugh. And I was like, what did I do? Are they about to kick me out of school, you know? And so me, because I'm inquisitive and I love researching, and I started looking it up only to discover that it was an honor. And so one of my instructors had referred me to some type of scholastic program and all of that. But I finished, and because of my track record in school, I actually had gotten selected to be the commencement speaker for my two-year college degree. And so I was like, oh, my God. But that was one of the things, starting and stopping. I developed a tenacity to finish. The other thing was my mom. My mom was addicted to drugs for about 20 years. And going through the ridicule, I think, through school, the absenteeism of her while she was filtering through life, you know, trying to go through her things, later on discovering, getting over what the moment, the feelings of abandonment, getting over things that I may have thought had been rejection or even my fault. They were things that built up a resilience in me to just go forward and to always seek more. And so it's been an ever-learning journey for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I love your mother. She's yes. our mom. We share her.
Yes. She is amazing. She is amazing to the world. Yes, yes.
Well, wow. Again, you know.
Yeah,
And that's a lot, you know, because a lot of times when I share that, and when people even see my mom, she's been off drugs for years. You would never even know that, I mean, she ever even did it. Such an amazing woman, big, big heart. And seeing even the power of God, like, through relationship and reconciliation and that, but just knowing that even though those things come oftentimes to knock us off of our square, to keep us off kilter, that God allows it to strengthen us, that those trials, those tribulations really literally come to strengthen us, and that they are springboards for us. And so that's what it has been for me.
Oh, I was just going to say that shows your resilience, and it made you tougher. You used those things to make you more determined, and you didn't allow those things to break you. And I think that's
yes.
something that people need to hear, because you could have
yes.
allowed them to break you.
Yes.
But you chose not to, and that is why you are an inspired leader.
Thank you.
Loretta, it sounds like your book, Trapped in the System, is a lot about that very stuff, right? You want to talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, sure. The title has a twist. You know, some people try to off top figure out, okay, trapped in the system, and it resonate with people. Maybe they have been incarcerated, you know, in relationships, just different things. But for me, trapped in the system dealt with me being trapped in the mind, trapped in physical situations. As I mentioned, I don't think I even mentioned this earlier, but I was molested as a child, and I was raped when I was in high school. And you read part of this in my bio, but I encountered spiritual abuse, emotional abuse, and some physical abuse. And so with that, the book kind of speaks to some of that. It's a self-help book, empowerment book. And it talks about some parts of my life, but it gives a lot of reference to scriptures and the word of God, which I found my anchor and seeking after God, you know, who some say the higher power, the higher being. But I went after this person or being of, you know, creative powers. And I found myself, and I found my power, and it helped me to be able to get centered and to have strength. And so in there, the book, it deals with mental torment. If people are struggling with mental torment, it provides tools for them to be able to overcome that. When you talk about molestation or rape, it's very taboo in families and even still in society, but they are things that are very real. That I meet people that's in their 60s and 70s, they never told anybody that they were abused, but it has plagued them all of their life. And the book is designed to set people free and help them to understand you don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed. That was one of the things that had come to me to share, even about my mom. I was embarrassed, and I felt like, you know, certain things was my fault. But you understand that when you're victimized or you're violated, it's not your fault. And so individuals that read the book, I've had from ages 9 all the way up to like 89, read the book, both male and female, that have found freedom in that from mental bondage and physical bondage and spiritual bondage, even those that have been abused by spiritual leaders. And it breaks our mindset away, even from Stockholm syndrome, which I believe I had. But I was set free from that, and it helps you to be able to identify those things so that you won't continue to live in a victimized state, but that you can understand that you've been assigned and ordained and called to walk as a victor.
Ooh. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that book is available at Barnes & Noble. Is that the only place people can get it?
No, they can go online. It's available in all book outlets. The stores
good.
Don't physically have it, they can order it online. They can get it through my website, which is www.loretarice.com. They can also get it at Barnes & Noble.
I have a Facebook page, Artha Larita Rice, L-A-R-I-T-A, spell my name, R-I-C-E, but they can also contact me through there for the book as well. But, yeah, any outlet, they can order it. Good Books, Books A Million. And if they don't have it, they can request it to be ordered.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I can see that you are a pro at being a very good guest because you gave all of your information like that very quickly, succinctly, and beautifully, and you spelled your name.
Thank you. That's because I think I was mispronouncing my name. So I said, let me be clear.
I wasn't gonna mention that, Larita, but okay. No, this is funny. It was funny.
Yes.
Well, and I can say this because I've done 1,000 radio shows in my day. So, you know, I know how it looks when somebody doesn't do a good job of that. It's like, could you please tell us how to get in touch with you?
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you're very inspiring in terms of what that book is about and the fact that so many people have that mental torment that you're talking about for various reasons.
Absolutely.
With no outlet. Right, no outlet.
Yes.
The shame or embarrassment or,
yes,
you know, their self-image won't let them talk about it.
Yes.
And I know about that also. I have actually told my story, which I'm not going to tell now, but I told my story, which is pretty hairy, in front of 500 women who knew me as a leader in my service organization. And it was a banquet. We were getting ready to give scholarships to women who had gone back to college after being in abusive relationships, as a matter of fact. And we were giving $5,000 and $10,000 scholarships. So I decided that night to tell my story before I gave those awards of money and recognition. And I'll tell you, for 20 minutes, you could have heard nothing in that room except my voice. And people came up to me afterwards and said, I had no idea that that kind of, you know, abuse and so forth had happened to you, and you never said a word. And I said, well, I was doing life. I was doing, you know, this is how I handled it. And today I wanted to share. And it really made a difference to so many people, just the sharing of it. So thank you for writing that book. Thank you for writing that
book.
Thank
you. Thank you for creating space for that. And yes, when we're in professional settings, or even when people hear our stories, sometimes, you know, it can be an uncomfortable feeling on multiple levels. But I know that someone's being set free, and it goes back to what we started off talking about. If we can just help one person be free in the world, that they're able to utilize their gifts and shine, like I'm totally okay with that. And just to add to that,
right,
the scriptures that kind of talks about Jesus leaving the 99, going to check on the one and gather the one, that I believe that. I believe that one person's life, one soul is very important, and that should be our focus.
I believe that, cool, too. I believe that, too. And I was actually going to ask you, well, I think we've kind of covered it, but I'm going to ask it more specifically about how you personally, you, Larita feels. How do you feel when you discover that you have inspired another person? How do you want those people to feel?
How do I want them to feel? I feel grand. I can just live in that moment like for the rest of life until I die or Jesus comes, the rapture happens, whatever our belief systems are. I can bask in that for forever knowing that someone was helped. And I feel great, you know, when I realize that they are feeling good, that they had a wrath, you know, thrown at them. Someone reached down and picked them up, gave them a helping hand to get to the next place, because the world that we're living in right now, it's like it can be very difficult to find people who are selfless like you ladies, you know, that just give
just because no motives. When me and Don first met, like, I've been through tons of people, and I was like, okay. And me and her talked about it because it's like nothing. You like nothing. But when you find people that want absolutely nothing but to empower someone else, like, it's totally life-changing. And that feeds my soul totally.
So it's life-changing for both the giver and the receiver.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely so.
Oof, that's a lot to absorb.
It is.
So beautiful.
It is.
There's a couple things that I have written down here that I wanted to kind of touch upon. And, Loretta, since we both have been to Africa, we love it. We've both been so-called there. After your first trip, what was one of the lessons? Because there's a few lessons that I always have been innately just grateful for everything I have, because I realized that so many people around the world have so very little. But when I went to Africa, it was so driven home to me that even, you know, having heat in my house, having water in my house, clean water, you know, those kind of things, I kind of took them for granted, but I don't take anything for granted any longer. What was one of the things that you came away with, you know, life altering that, you know, changed you as a person?
Man, the very first time I went, I had heard stories about, you know, when you go to Africa, your life is never going to be the same again. You know, you're going to be forever chained. Da, da, da. And we hear things all the time that just kind of fall on what we would call deaf ears. But when I went, the very first time I went, and I went to Kenya, I had that awakening. There was an awakening that happened for me. It felt like something that had been out of place had gotten into place. It felt very succinct, and I felt very much in alignment. And it was almost scary because I remember thinking, how the heck do I feel so at home at a place like I've never been? And then as days passed by, I realized I'm not just in another city or state, you know, another country. Like, I'm on a whole total different continent, like thousands of miles from home. And there was an awakening that happened. One of my takeaways was just the appreciation for life itself. I realized that toilet tissue was a luxury. I realized that toilet seats were a luxury. I realized that I shouldn't just let my water run for minutes at a time when I'm brushing my teeth, because there were places that literally the water got cut off at a certain time. That I should appreciate electricity because in certain places it literally shuts down, you know, at a certain time. The other takeaway was the importance of family. There was no strangers in Africa. The widows, the orphans, it didn't matter if they knew you or not. If you were without a home, I saw people inviting people into their homes and their families, whether it was a hut, whether it was a full-blown house, they reached out. And for me, as a Black woman, I understood the value of family even more, and the structure of family and the love of family. And I really wish that I could pick up that model of love and reaching out that I saw in Africa and just deposit it or infuse it in America. Those are my takeaways.
Oh, gosh. You know, again, you're saying the exact same things I say all the time. Those are takeaways that I took away, too, after my trip, realizing just, you know, how very blessed we are in what we, like with brushing your teeth. The other day I was watching somebody on Instagram and they were doing something and they had the water running, and I'm sitting there going, turn off the water, let's turn off the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I so relate to that. I've heard that too, you know, Africa's magical, it changed my life, and I didn't get it fully until I went. And that's what I want to share with
people. It changes you.
It does, and it's such.
It changes everything about you.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It's really
when
a
you
holy
see
land.
People, it is. It absolutely is.
It's sacred ground.
Well, you know, one of the things that's happening with this pandemic and us all being at home, I think a lot of people are turning to God because, you know, we don't know what to do. And we're starting to realize that there's something greater than us. And because of the work that you do with Empowerment of Grace, I just wanted you to kind of speak to what is happening on a collective level with, you know, people like realizing that there's something greater than us and, you know, being of service and helping each other and reaching out. You know, I would like you to just talk about what your takeaways are and how you're viewing what's happening in the world right now.
I will be remiss not to say this. I remember thinking just several days ago, God, I'm glad I got a chance to go. And I didn't take for granted the opportunity that had been set before me. And that I didn't go. And so taking advantage of that, I'm grateful. I believe that whatever this is that's happening right now, it's getting the attention of the whole world. It's no longer just in a black community.
Absolutely.
Or a brown community or urban community or whatever kind of other community that we're familiar with that things happen in, but mm-hmm. that this is something that has swept across the whole world. And my belief is that it is part of being able to find solace and understand what we've been called to do in the first place is to live life with the basics. Go back to the basics of humanity. Family, which was the first institution of God, was family. And people that have been so busy for whatever the things are that some of us, you know, to me, so I like this analogy about Martha and Mary that talks about, you know, we get caught up doing good things and not God things. And then those things, they have shifted. And we pitch tents in places where God is saying, I'm no longer having you here. You need to get up and move. There's more parts of the world you need to go. But this is a time to go to be at the basics and through prayer. Those that believe in prayer, that we will be praying that even before we got on here, getting centered, taking some time to have some quiet time and just let your soul come together, you know, and be made whole. But I believe that there's been so much movement and that the earth has literally been groaning for righteousness, for honesty, for peace, for the characteristics of the Holy One. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity and the extensions that have been afforded. Even something as simple as this, you know, there again, those that believe in scripture that says this gospel must be preached to the end of the world, that now when I was just, Don and Deborah, in Uganda back in October, the area that I was in, they couldn't get Zoom. I was trying to connect them with it, show them how it worked, and it wouldn't. But right now, this have allowed the world to open up in ways that it once was closed. And I believe that that's divine, because where many have been kept out, now they're able to be in and to be connected with one another.
Oh, that's so good.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
I do.
We have an opportunity to connect with one another, you know, and it's making us, there again, think first things first. What's really important? Things that we thought was a necessity was not the necessity that we thought. It was not needful, you know. It was expedient. It might have had a sense of urgency, but it wasn't needful for us to do it at that moment. And there again, relationships are being restored because people are shut in the house with their loved ones. And those that are apart from each other and can't get to one another or realizing the importance of their loved ones and getting centered around that. So I love that aspect of what's happening right now.
Oh, you know, I posted something the other day, and this is it, and I think that this sums it up very beautifully. I think that when the dust settles, we will realize how little we need, how very much we actually have,
yes.
and the value
yes.
and the true value of human connection.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And we would run to open arms, if you will, to embrace and to show love and appreciate mm-hmm. life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool.
This is amazing. And I'd like to do something that Loretta is going to be my gift to you, and Dawn will understand as I start to do this. I wrote the 10 traits about Dawn, and now I'm going to read them because they're about you too. Okay?
Wow.
And I want I want people to know because you are the same person.
Oh, God, no,
okay.
So
I'm about to cry already.
So, inspired leaders possess equal parts visionary spirit, passionate creativity, and bold strength of character. I don't know if I can get through all this. I don't even know. Okay. In addition, a 10X leader cultivates and models these other traits. Number one, singularity of purpose. Number two, ability to ask for help. Number three, awareness of opportunities. Number four, willingness to burn the boats. Number five, confidence in core values. Number six, strong belief system. Number seven, acceptance of responsibility to a calling. Number eight, willingness to share credit and build team. Number nine, ability to see the beauty and inherent good in others. And this is the one that's for both of you. Number 10, sense of awe and wonder. And I think what you shared about Africa is so beautiful.
Oh my God.
So, thank
I'm
you.
I'm the only one not crying at this moment. I'd just like to thank
my God.
So, 10X leaders inspire others to be their best. That is what we do, right? And you two are just so amazing, and I just can't even believe it. I just can't even believe it. And I just want to also say that thank God that a Feed the Children flyer and concern for hungry children thousands of miles away fed your soul's purpose, and that this is what started it all. And you were going to be that person anyway, and I just love the fact that it was a Feed the Children flyer because it's so important. And I'm really worried about the water in the world.
Yes.
And I really wish that everybody could learn to read. And I don't know why I'm crying. I'm happy.
Yes.
It's a good thing I'm
Your
happy.
Soul is on fire.
The
alabaster box is being expanded.
Yes, thank you. Well, we have hit the 45-minute mark, which I'm comfortable. If you've got anything else that you feel like you want to say, you're certainly welcome to do that. Dawn, if you have any closing question, that would be great. I feel complete myself, but I would certainly welcome you two to finish up with whatever closing thoughts you have. This has been a beautiful, beautiful show, and thank you so much. I just love it.
I would like to say thank you to Deborah, of course, for just being you, just existing on this planet. Thank you for that. Thank you for making this possible. Loretta, thank you for who you show up in the world to be. Thank you for being my friend, my family. And thank you for what you do in the world every single day, lifting people. You've lifted my life, and I see the difference that you're making in so many others. And, you know, together, hand in hand, we'll just keep doing that together. And I'm so, you know, grateful that we connected and you are on my journey with me. Loretta, is there anything else? Is there anything else
yeah.
you would like to direct people towards? You have
Deborah, we haven't physically met, but I'm just grateful to God for you guys. I'm just creating, opening up this platform and inviting me to share it with you all. Dawn, I love you. You are my sister from another mother. Every day we settle into what that actually is. She's the light version. I'm the dark version. And I'm just grateful that I get to meet other powerful women from across the globe, you know, that I wouldn't ordinarily have met unless I opened up my heart and my life and my world. And thank you, Dawn, for showing up in it when you came, you know, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, basically now. And so I'm just grateful for that. And just thank you guys so much for the work that you're doing to inspire others. And I want to close with this, just be.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
And I want to close with one more thank you to my beautiful co-host, Dawn, our beautiful, beautiful guest, Loretta, and as Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. And I would imagine that Loretta and Dawn would probably be in your path. So thank you so much. This has been an amazing almost hour. So
it's been
blessings
amazing
to everyone. Yes, it has been. Blessings to everyone. And I'm going to fix this up so that our music will take us out. But right now, I'm not going to sing, but we'll just say goodbye for now. And Loretta, I hope that I have the pleasure of meeting you in person. And I feel like I am your sister as well. So I love it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to it.
All right.
Blessings and peace.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
goodbye, everyone.
All right, well, say goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye.